Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. You have an insert in your bulletin, great big one. Open mic night with a nice picture of a coffee cup, and I think Ken actually did the drizzle on the top. Ken, is that right? Okay, on that picture. And we have next Sunday is Come Before Winter, will be preached. Afterwards, there will be a baked potato and salad bar, and the prices are on there for that. Kids Club has begun a new year, and it meets every Wednesday from 4 to 6. Trunk or Treat will be on the 30th from 2 to 4 p.m., and everyone who can decorate a car or help in some way is asked to attend a meeting this Wednesday after Kids Club at 6 o'clock. Linger a While Coffee Hour is today after church service. Schedule for the week is on the back of your bulletin. Workday is Tuesday, and help is needed. There will be a history paperwork organizing time Wednesday and Thursday from 12 to 2, and all are welcome. Are there any other announcements?
Gary, choir on Thursday night at 6:45.
Okay. Any other announcements? No? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 2, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, verses 1, 2, and 4, and please stand. At one point, you may remember, Jesus asked a rhetorical question about the relative value of gaining the whole world and losing one's soul. We have come here to worship because we are soul as well as body, because we are spirit as well as flesh, because we seek treasure in heaven even more than the treasure on earth. Let us pray. We ask, great physician, for healing. Healing of the mind, healing of the spirit, healing of the memories, healing of the body, healing of the soul. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Since God has given us so much, it is right that we express our thanksgiving in a tangible way. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 59. This is My Father's World.
We can thank you in words, and we can thank you with our lives. And now we thank you by sharing these gifts we received from you with others. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and 4 through 7. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is Make Me a Channel of His Peace by Ash Sanctuary Choir.
You know, the famous poet Longfellow, years and years ago, wrote, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said." And of course, we all know that into this strife-filled world, there is a positive message in regards to peace and the author of peace. For unto us a child is born, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This theme of peace marks the life and ministry of the Prince of Peace. And our anthem today is an adaptation of the prayer of St. Francis. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. So we are responsible for promoting peace in this world.
Master, grant that I Morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this beautiful Sunday morning as we gather to sing praises to our God as the choir has done for us and as we ourselves will do, although not quite as lovely, but still lovely to the ears of God. And we lift up our prayers, our joys and concerns this morning. I want to share with you some joys happening in the life of our community as well as our congregation. As mentioned earlier, Kids Club has begun again. I don't even know what year we are on. I think we're over 30 years now. And we had a great start to our year. We had over 20 kids, including at least half a dozen new faces, and I think some more to come. So I want to give thanks to Nancy and Melissa and all those who helped make Kids Club possible, and to give thanks to God for all the children who have come to learn about Him and His love for them. And of course, it's never too late. If you have a child, if you know someone who has a child, please let them know every Wednesday from 4 to 6. We are going to have another great year learning this time about the book of Daniel and more to come as well. You know that we've been raising money to help those ravaged and affected by the floods. We have been collecting an offering, and as of last week when we tallied it up, our own congregation raised $1,230. Our goal was $1,000. We exceeded that. And that is in addition to, as we mentioned before, the money that we were able to procure from Week of Compassion, our denomination's outreach and disaster response branch. They offered $2,000. And so this week we had the great pleasure of giving over $3,000 to community ministries for helping with flood relief. So let's give thanks to God for the generosity of the congregation as well as with the denomination, and knowing that when there is need, we will be there and God is already there. We also continue to lift up those on our prayer list and to update those. And remember, if we've not heard anything from a person after 4 or 5 weeks, we will take them off the prayer list. But if you want to have them put back on, just let us know. So let's take a moment now to add our prayers and concerns and anyone that we need to add to our prayer list this morning. Yes?
Mike and Trina had to take Ruth to the doctor's this morning to get a prescription for an ear infection.
Pray for Ruth. I know the pain of ear infections all too well, and pray that will be good for her. Pray for Mike and Trina as well. Gary?
Yeah, Patty's going in for a surgery on Tuesday.
We'll pray for her going into surgery. I also had another church member mention to me that they are having a surgery coming this week, so we will pray for all those waiting surgery and also those who are recovering from them as well. Roxanne? This is why you need to come to church. You come to church to lift up prayers for friends who are not doing well and find out that they're doing a lot better than you thought. So we give thanks. We'll continue to pray for Kaz, but also for Bill. Judy, do you have an update on Bill? Just kidding. Bill Little. We'll pray for Bill Little. Has a malignant growth and has a decision to make about that. I had a prayer request and it slipped my mind. I don't know. Are there others? Sonny?
Well, just usually, one of my mom came through surgery. She had a shoulder replacement, and the reverse shoulders is something kind of different. The ball was up here instead of up in the arm. I think it does need the doctor, and it feels a lot better that way. And just to get her out of the pain, it's just a fantastic thing. The other thing is my cousin Michelle, who's gone through so much, Alex.
It's a very big thing to her, I'm sure. And so we give thanks that she's recovering and doing better. We'll pray as your mother recovers from her shoulder surgery. Deb? Brother's father-in-law passed away on Friday. His name is Ron. Okay, pray for them. And remember also to please write down your prayer requests. If you want them listed in the prayer insert, the prayer list, so we have the spelling of the name correct. Thank you. Are there any others? Yes. It's coming along step by step. That's great. A little bit of good news every week. Thank you for sharing that with us. Baby Eli now has his first bottle. We've been praying for him for a very long time, ever since he was born. 5 months? 6 months now?
115
days. Okay. Yes. Ken?
I'd like to pray for the families of the people in Haiti that lost their lives. And it just goes to show what you can do with safety here in the United States. We only lost 11 people that I heard of. Because of their hurricane, being able to afford hurricane protection for their homes and so on. And in Haiti, they had none of that. It's the poorest country in this hemisphere, and they just got flat. So far, they counted 800.
Pray for all the victims of the hurricane, of Hurricane Matthew, in particular those in Haiti, about 800 or so who have lost their lives. We know also that Weak in Compassion is there already getting started helping them, and we give thanks that it wasn't at worse, especially here, and we pray for them. Yes?
I was just going to say about the Week of Compassion.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes?
I would like to put my two daughters on the prayer list, Barbara Geist, Amy Sabella. Amy has a very long road to hoe and a rocky one, so if you would just keep her on there.
Pray for Barbara and Amy.
Barbara Geist and Amy Sabella.
And Amy Sabella. Yes? Pray for your friend just diagnosed with cancer. Pray for her today. Seeing none other, let us now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we come to you at a time that is beautiful in the world, a season of wonder and joy. And we come to you with our hearts open wide, filled with awe and gratitude for all that you have done for us and our world. And we also come to you in pain and in sorrow because of things that we have lost or people that we have lost or fear that we may lose. And also anguish simply because we don't know what to do. We need direction in our lives. We are uncertain of tomorrow. You, O God, are the giver of wisdom. We come seeking guidance for our lives today. Open our minds to receive your teachings. Open our hearts to treasure your precepts as essential to our own very existence. Strengthen our faith through this time of worship now and through our prayers, knowing that we not only pray to you, but we pray with each other and with people all across the world gathered in your name. May this time in this community and in communion with our sisters and brothers renew us, revive us, and give us the strength to continue to share your grace to the world. Lord, as we pray this morning, you have heard those who are on our hearts and in our minds. You've known before we even came, before we even spoke, before we even knew what is needed. And so more than anything, we simply pray that all those who are in our hearts and minds, all those that we've mentioned today, all those in our prayer list, will turn to you. Whatever it is that faces them. For For you are the source of all healing, all wisdom, all guidance, all comfort, all joy. And particularly we lift up today those who are facing surgery. We pray that it will be well for them, that it will renew them and heal them and relieve any pain or discomfort they are having. We pray for Patty as she faces surgery. We pray for Sonny's mother as she recovers. We give thanks for the good news that Eli is continuing to move along and grow and get better. We pray that we will come every week and hear more good news. And one day, very soon, he may get to go home for the first time. We pray for those who have gotten bad news this week. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at the hospital, the doctor's office, we know that you are in all things and you hold our hand. And that we should not fear tomorrow, for you are already there. Still, though, we need your help. For Bill Little, who has a difficult decision to make and has received bad news about a malignant growth, we pray. We give thanks that Kaz is doing better, but we continue to pray for him, especially as he battles depression. For Emily's friend, who's diagnosed with cancer, we pray. For Barbara and Amy, we pray, and pray that they will continue to draw strength not only from you, but from each other. And for John, we pray on the passing of his father-in-law, that he may be able to do his father-in-law justice and honor him and help the family heal. And we pray for Ruth, that she will be well. And also for Mike and Trina, as they deal with a sick child, give them the patience that they need as her ear infection clears. Glorious God, we celebrate you. We worship you. We pray to you. We give you thanks, for you have done so much. You continue to do so much. You will do so much for us that we will not ever be able to count or repay. And all we can do is to be thankful, to give you our gratitude and love, and to do the best we can to do things for others as well, that they may also have the seed of faith planted in their heart because of our actions that have been inspired by your Son, Jesus Christ, that have been guided by your Holy Spirit, and have been blessed by you. We give you thanks this day and every day. And we say, Amen. Will the children come forward for the junior sermon?
Come down, everybody. Good morning. Have a seat, How's everyone today? I want to talk to you about words. You guys know a lot of words? When Owen was growing up, when he was real young, what word do you have? Not right now. I know. You know a lot of words. When Owen was growing up, when he was real little, we kept track. He'd be like, oh, he said his first word. Then he said his second word. And then we kept track and be like, oh, he knows a dozen words. And then before you know it, Owen knew so many words that I couldn't keep track of it. And now he won't stop talking. Right? That's the same for all of you, isn't it? I bet you could not possibly count how many words you know. How many words do you think there are? 1,000,000,000? What? 10,000,000? You might be right. Okay, yes. That's a lot. Now listen, have you ever sat down and taken a dictionary? You've seen a dictionary, right?
Big book, like this big.
Try and count all the words.
Why not? Because that's boring. But there's a lot of words. What do you think, though, are the most magical words ever? You know the words abacadabra? You know the words hocus pocus? Those are supposed to be magic words, right? If you ever see a magician, they'll say abacadabra and then I'll pull a rabbit out of my hat. Okay, it's not Lamborghini. Okay, that's not the magic word I'm talking about. Shh, please be quiet. How about, you guys watch Harry Potter and they say things like, Wingardium Leviosa, right? And it makes things float. And, he breaks his glasses and they say, Oculus Reparo, right? Those are magic words. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about two words in the English language that are regular words that you use every day or you should use. Actually, three words every day. Not Lamborghini or Ferrari, Owen. I know, you're just so stuck on these cars. Shh, please be quiet. Anybody else know what these two magic words, three magic words are? Please, thank you. Those are the magic words. You know why those are magic words? Because if you want something to happen, you say those words. If you want something to happen, you don't go up to your mom and dad and say, abracadabra, give me a chocolate chip cookie. Right? And you don't go up to your teacher and you say, hocus pocus, give me a Lamborghini. You don't say that. What do you say? Please give me chocolate cookies. What? Yes, then that will work. Yes. Give you what? Please give you a hair dye? We'll talk about that in a second. So those are the magic words. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get everything if you say them, right? If you go to your mom and say, please give me a hair dye, she's going to say no. And I can attest to that. If you go up to your teacher and say, please give me a Lamborghini, she's going to say, no, I don't have one to give. You might get a chocolate chip cookie. You might get one. But my point is not that you are definitely going to get these things. Well, hold on. Not that you definitely get these things if you say those words, but that you won't unless you do. And then when you do get something, if I give you a Lamborghini, what are you going to say? Abracadabra? No. No, you're going to say thank you or I'm taking that Lamborghini back. I can tell you that right now. Okay? Let me tell you a story. Jesus did not give anybody a Lamborghini. Jesus did not give anybody a cookie. And Jesus did not give anybody a hair dye. Okay? Why? He did give somebody health. Which you think, oh, it's no big deal. But wait until you don't have it. Wait until you don't have it. And then you'll want it. And there were 10 people who had this disease. Hold on a second. Listen. And they had their skin. It was all bad. We call it leprosy. It had blisters and spots on it. It was itchy. Can you imagine? Itchy. Itchy. You're so itchy that you can't even think about Lamborghini. You're so itchy that you don't even want hair dye, right? Or a chocolate chip cookie. And so what did Jesus do? He healed them. Were they happy or sad? No, they were so happy that they ran off to go tell everybody how happy they were. 10 of them. Do you know how many of them said thank you to Jesus? How many? No, less than 5. One. One of them came back and said thank you, okay? What? Just one. It was just one. And he said thank you. And Jesus said, but there are 10 of you healed. Where are the other 9? But you have received the full blessing. Okay? And that's how it ends. And Jesus is saying, you know, I can heal you. I can do all kinds of amazing things. I am the Son of God. All I want is for you to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying thank you. Okay? Sometimes we refer to saying please and thank you as nice words. We call them niceties. But you know, really? They're necessities. Because can you... If I were to give you a chocolate chip cookie, later on, you could give me one, right? Okay. What do we call that? We call it paying it back. If I gave you a Lamborghini, later on, you could give me a Lamborghini and we could be square. Charlotte, if I gave you a hair dye, later on, if I wanted some hair dye, would you give it to me? Then we'd be square. We'd pay it back. Well, God has given us so much. What has God given us? Life. What else? Toys, okay. The sun. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. who says that we will go with him and live happily ever after in heaven. Yes. Okay, well, just 1 second. I'm almost done. How can we pay God back? Stop. How can we pay God back? We can't. All we can do is say, thank you. Yeah. You may think it's not a very important thing, but it really is like the two most important words, the magic words that can open up any number of things for us. So whenever someone does something nice for you, I want you to say thank you. When your parents do something nice for you, I want you to say thank you. And whenever God does something nice for you, I want you to say thank you. You know what? Thank you. You can go to your class now. So our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, found on page 80 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks to his disciples as he tells them of the parable that we've just heard, of the 10 lepers who were healed by him, but only one gave thanks. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way, for your faith has made you well. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week I've been trying an exercise. You may have heard other people talk about this. An exercise in gratitude where you keep track of how many times you say thanks or thank you or some variation thereof. And it's a good exercise. I definitely recommend that we do that at some point because we should, of course, be thankful and we should give thanks more than we do, I think. But while that was the goal of this exercise, to make me more thankful, to make me more aware of when I say thank you or don't, I had a surprising revelation, I just noticed something strange. I wasn't surprised about how many times I said thank you, but what I was giving thanks for. Oftentimes, I feel like I was giving thanks for things that weren't, necessary, or even maybe that I shouldn't have. For instance, when I ask somebody at the grocery store, where can I find the olives, and they tell me it's over there, I say thank you. When I go to Gecko and I order a drink and I list all the things I want on it and I put whipped cream, because really, what's the point of having a drink if there's no whipped cream on top of it? And they give it to me and it doesn't have whipped cream on it. And I say, well, I ask for whipped cream and they give it to me and then I say, thank you. The other day, at Dunkin' Donuts, see, the other thing is that when I start counting things, I realize how many times I go places that I shouldn't go and eat food that I shouldn't eat. And again, I get a drink, and she doesn't give me what I asked for. And then when I said, can I have some whipped cream on it? And she rolls her eyes at me like I'm the biggest idiot she's ever had to wait on, and she gives it to me. And then I say, thank you. And I think to myself, why? Really? I don't think I should have said thank you just now. I'm struck that giving thanks for the most time was not extraordinary. Most of the time I give thanks, it was for something that was not very significant, and maybe it was even somebody just doing their job? Did I really appreciate what they were doing? Did I really appreciate what I was getting? Was I simply going through the motions? Because in many ways, my gratitude was either out of surprise or my expectations have been lowered. And the thing is, as I think about it, I think all of the above is true. Occasionally people do go out of their way to help you, to be nice to you, to give you something that you didn't have before. But mostly, whenever a person did what they were supposed to do, even halfway competently, I was thankful. I've come to be grateful when at the grocery store and I ask them, where can I find the Kalamata olives, that they first off don't say, what is that? And if they can tell me generally where they are, I say thank you. Now, to be fair, grocery stores have gotten so large these days that it's almost like going to Lowe's looking for a screw or a nail, right? It's like the proverbial needle in a haystack. And so I'm elated whenever someone tells me not only where they are, but maybe goes and shows me where they are. And I'm elated whenever I go somewhere and I order something and I get exactly what I wanted without having to order it twice or say anything twice. I'm overjoyed whenever someone does something more than is asked or expected without being prompted. The phrase raising the bar is an expression that comes from the Olympics. It comes from pole vaulting or high jumping, something where it illustrates the increased expectations. If the bar has been raised, then it's going to be harder now to get over it. If the bar has been raised, we now expect more. But in so many areas of our society, the bar, quite frankly, has been lowered. In the grocery store, those who raise the bar are the ones who take you to the desired aisle and show you where it is that you're, what it is that you're looking for. Others are content with the bar right where it is and where it always has been, telling you that the aisle that you need and then moving on to whatever else that they are doing. And then there are those who lower the bar, not finishing, not trying, asking, do I really have to do that? Shrug their shoulders and tell you that they don't know where they are, where the olives are, and leave you to figure it out for yourself. Of course, this is not only the case in the grocery store, but everywhere. The result is a society where we make the least effort possible so that the quality has taken a back seat to quality just about any place we care to look. And if you want to know exactly where to look, you can look at my son's bedroom. And my daughter's bedroom, too. When we tell them to clean up, and their idea of cleaning up is to take all the stuff that's on the floor and shoving it under the bed, putting it in a box marked junk, which anymore is all of their stuff, and just shoving it in. A lot of times in our life, that's what we do. We don't fix the problem. We do what we can to get rid of it or to push it aside or leave it for somebody else or forget about it to another day. Now, the corollary, of course, to this is that the expectation is to be rewarded for doing what it is that we should have been doing in the first place. It shouldn't be surprising, then, that these words of Jesus that we've heard recounted in the Gospel of Luke are not too familiar to us. At least, I don't think they are. It's definitely not one of the better-known parables, not one of the better-known stories. We don't hear the story too often, but we need to hear more, much more. For when Jesus healed 10 lepers, only one of them returned to give thanks. Now, let's think about this. Not only is it a disease that is painful and uncomfortable, but it made them unclean. It kept them separated from the community, so that when he cleansed them, he told them immediately to go to the priest. That's how they knew they were now ritually clean. They were pure again. So not only did he heal them, alleviate a malady, a pain, a difficulty, a sickness, but he brought them back into the community. He remembered them. And only one of them turned around to give thanks. They were all excited. They were all thrilled. They were all overjoyed. Jesus says, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he says that because the person who gave thanks was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan is the metaphor, the example. It is the person who you would not expect to do good, but does. Not that the Samaritans are bad people, but you know, the Jewish people and the Samaritans, they had this animosity toward each other. And the Jewish person was to know better, and the Samaritan was maybe not, but yet time and time again, Jesus gives them as an example. Because essentially then what they do is they exceed expectations. Well, you would expect the Jewish people to be happy that they have been restored to the community and come back and say thank you, but they don't. Maybe you wouldn't expect that of the Samaritan, and yes, he does. All were healed, but only one was made well. That's exactly how Jesus phrases it. Go, your faith has made you well. And of course, he could be just referring to the fact that the leprosy is gone, but I don't think that's the case. The other nine have no more leprosy. They no longer have a disease, but they're not well. Because they're still not doing what they should be doing. But this Samaritan is doing even more than what would be expected of him. And what is that? He is simply giving thanks. Something that seems like such a small thing to do, but something that is important, essential even, and even in Jesus' time, not done enough. What happened to the other nine? We do not know. I suspect that they went off healed from their leprosy and happy and glad, but something new came along and they got sick in a new way and they encountered new troubles. They still discovered that although their bodies were healed, their souls were not well. But the one who gave thanks returned to Christ, and wherever he was in need again, his thankfulness made him well. Do you know people who have been sick time and again, and who have troubles time and again? And because they are made well one time, or they got through the difficulty one time, then they drew upon that inspiration the second time, and it helped them then. And they remember that again the third time, until eventually a pattern emerged of difficulty in life that God has helped them through, and their faith made them well. Now the fact that this man was a foreigner, a Samaritan, only emphasizes the importance of giving thanks. For he was the one who appreciated the gift most, because he did not take it for granted. The preacher Fred Craddock, in his commentary on the Gospel of Luke, writes, "It is often the stranger in the church who sings heartily the hymns we have left to the choir, who expresses gratitude for blessings we had not noticed, who listens attentively to the sermon we think we have already heard, who gets excited about our old Bible, and who becomes actively involved in the acts of service to which we send small donations. Must it always be so?" And of course, it must not always be so, but it is simply true that we take things for granted. Not just us, but we as human beings, all people, we take things for granted. That is something we simply need to watch against, to guard against, to protect against. Parents work incredibly hard to teach their children to say please and thank you so that they will not take things for granted, that they will not just assume that they will be given whatever it is that they want whenever they want it. We call these things niceties, but that is not a strong enough word. For given that the leper who gave thanks to Christ was the only one of the ten to receive his full blessing to be made well, in Jesus' words, perhaps it might be better to refer to thankfulness not as a nicety, but as a necessity. Now there is good news for us in these words. Good news for us in this story. We do not have to earn God's thanks. We cannot earn God's thanks. However, we are also reminded that God owes us nothing. No reward, no trophy, no raise, no commendation or plaque. But even so, God has offered to us the greatest gift we could ever receive. Better than 1,000 chocolate chip cookies, better than 1,000 Lamborghinis, the gift of eternal life and salvation for all. In fact, as disciples, we can do what God requires, but we can never do more. We can never outgive or outshine or outdo God. And we can never really exceed expectations. But it's not to say that we shouldn't honor those whose service is great by human standards, whose faith is really a mountain compared to many others, who sets the bar high for us. It's simply to say that being a disciple of Christ, loved by God, nurtured by the Holy Spirit, is reward enough. The bar stays set high for us at all times. Unattainably high, actually, so that the only way we can reach it is with the help of Jesus Christ. And so we must have faith, but we must also have a thankful faith. Not that God should thank us for doing what little we do, for showing up to church or giving our money, but that we should thank God that in a world where people rarely go over and above, God went over and above everything. A bar that was set so high that only his son could overcome it. Even if we as Christians cannot always find unity in theological doctrines, our political convictions, our socioeconomic background, we can find unity in our sinfulness, in our need for God's grace. Do not expect God to thank us for our faithfulness. It is literally the least that we can do, and it is literally the most that we can do. It is, in fact, the only thing that we can do to respond to God's grace is to believe and be grateful. It is we who should be thankful to God for God's steadfast faithfulness, never-ending love, never leaving us, never losing us, never giving up on us when many others would and perhaps have. We offer the barest minimum in prayer and expect God sometimes to bless us in some way, or get mad when we are not rewarded or things go difficult in our life. We have a right to expect more from each other, from those with whom we work, from those who work in customer service that we encounter in the marketplace. But we literally cannot expect anything more from our God. And the only thing that God expects from us is simply to give thanks. If we fall short in regards to generosity, if we fall short sometimes in terms of devotion and prayer time, and we will, there is no doubt about that. The one area of our life that we should never fall short is in being thankful for what God has done, continues to do, and ultimately will do for us forever. Let us share our faith with one another and those whom we encounter, but let us always, always, always make sure it is a thankful faith. For we have so much to give thanks. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the bread of life and the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 528 in the Chalice Hymnal. Give thanks, and we will sing it through two times.
Thank you. recently heard a story that I wanted to share with you about the Crown Prince of Spain, Don Carlos, who at 17 years of age in 1562 fell down a flight of stairs and in doing so threw his entire country into disarray because he was the heir to his father, King Philip II, and now he was in a coma near death. And his father, the King of Spain, the most powerful man in all of the country, one of the most powerful men in all of Europe, suddenly realized how truly powerless he was. As he could do nothing but pray, and that is all he did. Again and again and again, basically saying to God that if you would save my son, I will do something great for you. And we know that that doesn't always work, but this time it did. His son restored to life, grew up to be a king, and in the meantime, his father commissioned a clockmaker to make a 15-inch puppet out of wood and clockwork, who was a monk, and when wound up, his right hand would go up and down, raising a Bible, while his left hand would take a rosary and kiss his lips. And what was he doing? He was praying. 400 years later, more than 400 years later, that still exists and can be seen in the Smithsonian Institute of Washington. And it is, they don't wind it up too much these days, but it still works. Well, what does he do? He does what we cannot. He was created to be, in many ways, a sort of perfect follower of God, in that all he did was pray. All he did was to speak to God and give thanks to God. He wound him up, and he wasn't distracted by the things that distract human beings. He wasn't pulled aside by his hunger or his boredom. He wasn't paying attention to the pain in his back or the needs of his job or family. All he did was to pray. And in that way, he did what we are not able to do. God knows that we are never going to be like the clockwork monk. God has set the bar very high for us. But God knows that we are human beings, and as sinful, as incomplete, imperfect as we are, not going to be like the angels giving thanks and praise at all times in all places of our life. And because of that, then, God has given us this meal, this table. One, because he knows that we will fall short of the bar that has been set so high. And two, he has given us this meal so that we may give thanks. That whenever we fall short, his grace is there for our need. And even so, he never will. We gather around this table to give thanks with the knowledge that we may trust in his unfailing and steadfast goodness, and that we may call upon his grace just like clockwork. And now this morning, let us pray.
Let us pray. If we depended upon our own strength and virtue, O Lord, who could stand? Our foolish self-seeking ways only drive us further from one another and from you. You have reached out to us in Jesus Christ and led us from a far land to our true home. You have prepared a banquet of celebration for us, a feast of hope at which we now gather. Here at this table we are reunited with you and with one another in a great feast of hope. As we break the bread and drink of the cup here, we are reminded of the love of Christ, and we are welcomed home. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after having poured it out, he blessed it and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
And now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wishes of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 552. Standing on the promises, we'll sing verses 1 and 4. Let us stand as we sing.
God loves you always and forever. Above all, go forth. Thank you.